Hello, and welcome to Atomic Interviews, where I interview professional scientists and engineers about their educations, careers, hobbies, and passions. My name is Luke Tower, and I'm a high school student with a passion for physics and engineering. As I've started thinking about what lies ahead for me, I wished I could talk to more professionals that are already using their knowledge of physics, math, and engineering to understand the world and make it a better place. I decided to start this podcast to help me gain an understanding of my career options by talking to as many different pros as I can, to share those conversations with anyone else that might have similar questions and passions to my own. If that sounds interesting to you, I would love it if you'd come along for the ride by subscribing to this podcast. About once every month, I'll bring you a new interview with someone I find both interesting and inspiring. I'm very excited about my first guest, Kelly McElroy. She's a senior nuclear engineer at the Donald C. Cook Nuclear Plant in Berrien County, Michigan. She received a Bachelor of Science degree in Civil and Environmental Engineering from Michigan State University. She also has a passion for sustainability and the environment, which led her to create her own podcast, Sustainability, which I highly recommend. In late 2020, Kelly was awarded the first Future Sustainable Business Hall of Fame Award from the West Michigan Sustainable Business Forum for her work on her podcast. We discussed many things revolving around clean energy, sustainability, nuclear power, and her path to becoming a nuclear engineer. Let's jump in. As I was researching you, I noticed you had a very interesting title, the Senior Nuclear Engineer, with the subtitle Engineering Fix It Now. Can you describe to me what that is?
Yeah, so Engineering Fix It Now, it's kind of like a design engineering group at Cook Nuclear Plant. It handles more of the emergent day-to-day issues. If people have questions inside the plant, we're the ones to answer their questions, whereas design engineering, they're looking at designs that are more long-term. So that's where the name Engineering Fix It Now comes from.
So it's kind of like a short-term problem?
Yeah. So if anything needs to be repaired right away, we're the ones going in to do the walk-downs, look at it, and get it resolved with maintenance and operations.
So what led you to decide to become a nuclear engineer? Is it something I'm considering myself?
Yeah. Well, actually, I got to be honest. I didn't know anything about nuclear energy. Even in college, it wasn't something that we talked about often. So when I went to a career fair trying to find a job after college, I saw the Cook Nuclear Plant people there and walked up to them. And to be honest, at first, I was just kind of looking for a job, you know, pay those student loans after college, and started talking to them. And it sounded very interesting, sounded like a technology that I'd be interested in learning. And yeah, it's something that's so different. Not a lot of people get into nuclear. So I've been there now about 9 years.
It's pretty cool. So you kind of adapted from what you studied to your career kind of diverged from that a little.
Yeah. So I actually was studying civil and environmental engineering at Michigan State University. And so I would not have originally thought that would have led to nuclear, but turns out you've got to, you know, upkeep some structures. There's supports that you have to go inspect and make sure are all intact. So there's a lot of different applications, even at a nuclear power plant.
It's interesting. So another question, what led you to become an engineering, to the path of engineering in general?
Yeah, so when I graduated from high school, I actually declared my major as biology, and I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up, to be honest. So I pretty much started with my WEEDER classes in college. And by WEEDER, I just mean like, you know, the basics, get the introductory classes out of the way. And then it was actually the summer between freshman and sophomore year when I actually met with an engineer at a local engineering firm. And my dad actually knew them. So that's how I met them. And they actually talked to me about what they did. And it's kind of like what you're doing here, talking to different engineers about what they do. And that kind of piqued my interest. So I've always been interested in like the environment and stuff. And so I thought environmental engineering would be something of interest to me, but Michigan State didn't have environmental engineering as a major just yet. So I declared civil engineering just because I also had family ties to that. And then later it did become a major. And so I tacked that on as well.
How much would you say the environmental part of your engineering degree ties into your current job?
Currently, not too much. I focus more on civil engineering right now. And it's definitely very interesting. The environmental part, you know, the one thing we say about nuclear power that really ties in with the environmental aspect is that it's carbon-free, emission-free. So that's something that we're pretty proud of there, being part of the carbon-free energy mix. But yeah, at this time, I'm mostly focused on the civil aspect of my degree.
And the environmental is more tied to your podcast?
Yeah, so that's where I wanted to tie up the environmental engineering kind of into the mix. So yeah, I started a podcast called Sustainability, and I just like to focus on cool things that people are doing related to the environment and see, you can always learn from other people. So I want to learn from others to see what they're doing, see if I can implement it in my own life, and then hopefully my listeners pick up a thing or two as well.
It's pretty cool. I know that the way I found you is actually through the award you got, the Future Sustainable Business Hall of Fame Award.
Yeah.
Which is really cool honor to receive.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a stereotypical question, but what would you say your favorite part of your job is?
Oh man, favorite part of my job. To be honest, I do like working with people. It's one thing we're not able to do at the moment as much with COVID going on, but day to day in normal circumstances, I really enjoy working with other engineers and interfacing with maintenance and operators. It's really cool to see how people in different groups can come together to, you know, either fix something or just get day-to-day things done. And that's just kind of an overall cool thing to see.
So I'm working on a project for school right now that actually relates to nuclear energy. We got to choose a topic and we're researching it. So mm-hmm. I thought that was climate. But one of the things I noticed in research is there's a commonplace fear of it.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Well, you know, prior to working at the nuke plant, I myself had a basic fear, I think, of nuclear. I think when we talk to people, we always ask them, what do you think of when you first hear nuclear? And a lot of people say nuclear bomb, or they say The Simpsons, and they always think I glow green or something. Or you think of the nuclear disasters like Chernobyl or Fukushima. And so I had a little bit of a fear myself going into it. But what I would say is that if you really take the time to learn about the technology, which is what I've done by working there, and I think a lot of people in our community have done so as well. We've done a really good job with outreach, I would say. You start to understand how many safeguards are in place. I am very comfortable with the technology, and I think it's a very important piece of the carbon-free energy portfolio. So I think it comes down to education and just asking questions. So if people are interested or have some fears, I think you just need to go research it or ask people about it.
Yeah. So most commonly, you use nuclear fission in the plant. What do you think about the future of using nuclear fusion as a power source?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that. I was just asked that recently by a family member. And, you know, I don't know. I think innovation, we're in a very innovative space here when it comes to energy and power. And I don't know. I don't really have a set opinion on it. I just think if we can continue on trying to find new ways of producing energy that does not emit anything into the atmosphere, I think that's great.
benefits of small amounts of nuclear waste rather than massive amounts of carbon in the atmosphere.
That's another huge point there.
So this is kind of jumping back a little bit, but I guess, how did you discover your passion for engineering and decide upon that as a career path?
Yeah, so going back, when I was in freshman year, like I mentioned, I didn't know much about engineering. And after I had that meeting at the engineering firm, I think that was like an hour long, and I didn't even really realize that that 1 hour was going to pretty much change my life. It kind of sounds a little, I don't know, weird when you say it like that, but that just kind of gave me the confidence to go after it. Prior to that, I wasn't sure if, you know, I was really cut out for engineering. I've always liked math. I always liked science, but I'm the type that had to work extra hard, I would say, compared to a lot of my friends to really get the topics. And so I just kind of went for it. And after getting into some of the classes, you know, you kind of have to get through those basic courses at first. But once you get into the meat of the degree, I guess, all of the different courses, it really becomes interesting. And you hear so many cool stories from different professors in college. So yeah, just the passion just kind of grew.
Was there a class that you had that was your favorite in college?
Oh, one that stood out? Yeah, I mean, I liked quite a few of them, to be honest. Like I said, I had to work hard at pretty much all of them. I really did like my structures class. Just learning about the basic forces, moments. And our professor was very interesting. He actually was part of the investigation team on the ground for 9/11, looking at the buildings afterwards. And, you know, to even be in the presence of someone who has been in part of like such a historic thing, like that was really cool to hear his firsthand experience. So when you have professors that can really relate the class to real life examples, I think that's where it's just super interesting. And I had a few classes that were able to do things like that.
That's pretty cool. Someone that connected to such a significant moment in American history.
Oh, for sure.
It's been kind of interesting, just like me not having a connection to that event is before I was born.
You weren't born yet for that?
Mm-mm.
Oh man, yeah, I remember it. It's pretty crazy. But then, like I said, to have a professor talk about that event that I remember seeing on TV, it was crazy.
So, jumping back to your career, and I guess even earlier, what career were you interested in as a kid? Because I was kind of military. I was interested in weapons, kind of stereotypical boy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually got interested in nuclear weapons, eventually got interested in the processes behind them and other types of weapons, and eventually kind of found the science, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think I was actually one of those kids who is like, oh my gosh, I want to be this when I grow up. You know, I think when I was in kindergarten, I thought about teaching. But then I remember kind of growing up and just always liking the sciences. So I just kind of had this general idea that I was going to do something science related. So that, I guess, that just kind of played its part in me finding engineering eventually.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't know what I want to do, but I know I want it to be a science or math.
Just... Yeah, and I think that's cool, though, because I think if you go in and you try and network like what you're doing through this podcast, and you get involved with different groups, like that really helps you find connections and maybe find some interests. Because if I didn't have that meeting with that engineer, you know, back in the summer going into my sophomore year of college, I don't know if I would have been an engineer. So this is really cool.
It's a very significant hour of your life.
Right.
I had a kind of moment like that too. So I had a very unique experience as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
In fifth grade, our family traveled around the country in the year for a year in an RV.
Oh my gosh.
So I've actually been to every state. So I've gotten to visit a lot of cool places. But the place that stood out to me, and it was just a normal day. We were in Boston and we came across MIT.
Yeah.
And I kind of fell in love. And that's the moment that changed my life. Before, I was a good student, but I wasn't applying myself.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I started getting more motivation. Starting like this is... a step, I guess, as well as something really cool, as well as developing experiences and meeting people.
Oh yeah. It's, you never know what kind of experience or person you'll meet that basically changes your life.
Yeah. What do you think about the long-term benefits of clean energy versus the short-term benefits of, I guess, less environmentally safe energy?
Well, I mean, I think we're kind of at a turning point where I think a lot of people are more aware of clean energy, and I think people want more clean energy. There's some great green jobs attached to it. There's a lot of financial benefits to it. You know, I think you need to have a diverse energy mix. So that definitely includes the hydro, the wind, the solar, but I would say also nuclear, for now at least, because you have to have a base load. And it's not always sunny. It's not always windy. And so you got to have the lights on when that's not happening, obviously. So I think short term, you know, we're in the process of phasing things out. You know, coal is probably not going to be a thing. Who knows? I have no idea, but coal is becoming less and less common. And we've got the clean energy that's becoming more and more common. And like I said before, I think the innovation is going to be there to just change everything completely. So I think the next decade is going to be very, very interesting to see what happens in that department.
I'm excited as well to see it.
Yeah.
Because nuclear energy, while it's super cool, it's kind of a placeholder for other cleaner technologies, I guess, to develop.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? There's also the small modular reactors that they're looking into at this point with, I think NuScale is one of the big companies that's looking into that. They just reached approval from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC. So they still have a lot of work to do. And who knows what the future holds, but I think it's really cool to see some of this technology become more in the forefront.
Could you give me a little description of the modular reactor? I'm not entirely sure what that is.
Yeah, so I mean, I have just a basic understanding. I actually had an interview with them for my podcast on sustainability. So if you want like a deeper dive into what NuScale is, I would recommend going back to that and checking it out. But basically, they're just a smaller reactor that they produce way less energy than what like the current nuke plant, which I work at, would produce. I don't really remember exactly the amount of power they produce, but basically the perks to them are they are smaller, they're safer, they require less maintenance, less operations with them. So I think the whole point of it is it's easier to put in various different places and not have the concern as much attached to it.
So smaller scale.
Oh yeah, way smaller.
So back to clean energy a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think the effects of electric vehicles will have on sustainability of Earth and the planet?
Man, yeah, I think electric vehicles are definitely here. They're the future. I saw that. I think it's in England. I can't remember the exact dates. I want to say it was like 2035 or something that they want to have all electric vehicles. And they even plan on phasing out hybrids, which is funny because I just bought a hybrid and I feel like that's a brand new technology. But I think it's going to be very important to then get more green energy and clean energy, because that's going to require a lot. You know, if everyone's driving an electric vehicle in the future, we're going to have to make sure we have enough energy to put into our vehicles. And that's going to be a very important aspect of having the clean energy. So I think it's all tied together really. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see where we go, even in the States.
Mm-hmm. Important to have even if you have the technology, you still have to have the energy capacity to use it.
Yes, for sure. And I think that's what we're starting to look at more and more trying to figure out how are we going to support this, because we all know we kind of want to get towards the electric vehicle, but like you said, we need to have the energy to support that.
And how do we make the transition having so many gas powered vehicles?
Exactly.
So I listened to a few episodes of your podcast and I found it super interesting. It was enjoyable to listen to and it had a good amount of humor.
Well, thank you.
So I was wondering what led you to start your podcast?
Yeah, so I started Earth Day 2019, and leading up to that, I felt like every time I turned on the news and heard anything related to the environment, it was so doom and gloom, and it was borderline depressing, you know? I wanted to figure out, like, is there something that I can do in my own life? And I've been interested in podcasting. Engineers aren't usually known for, you know, podcasting and talking, I feel like. But I decided to just dive in and see what kind of positive impact I could have. And to be honest, talking to different people about what they're doing to better the environment really energized me and made me feel better. And so doing that has taught me a lot as far as like what I can do day to day. And it's inspired a lot of my friends, my family to make changes in their lives. And it's piqued a lot of conversations with various different people. So again, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier with, you know, you never know who you're going to meet and be inspired by. So that's one recommendation I just have for you and all your listeners, is just network with whoever you can, because you're going to be inspired and learn a lot from them.
Thank you. I really appreciate that advice.
Yeah.
I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
Who is someone that inspires you that you think I should reach out to?
Ooh, well, I would have to say my co-host for my podcast / husband, Jason Schneeman. He's also an engineer, so I think you'll learn a lot from him as well. He was a chemical engineer for his undergrad. He got his master's in mechanical engineering, and he's also super passionate when it comes to sustainability. So I think he'd be a great person to interview.
Thank you very much. I look forward to reaching out to him.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks again to my guest, Kelly McElroy. Make sure to check out her award-winning podcast, Sustainability, wherever podcasts are found. If you'd like to hear more interviews like this one, please subscribe. Until next time, thanks for listening.